The meteorological winter is in the books. I have Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, on the line. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. Yeah, happy spring. It's already been spring for most of the winter.
I know. So. It's Groundhog Day spring over and over.
Yeah.
But we had a cold snap this week, Kenny, for what it's worth. Probably more temperate, more average. But it's already 40 degrees at 9:15 in Two Harbors, Minnesota on March 1st. And this begs a question. I hope you'll let me ask this kind of convoluted question, but here it goes. You are a highly educated, experienced senior climatologist, and each week on KTWH, we ask you to describe what's been happening and look ahead weather-wise a week or two down the road. But it looks like the week ahead, as I look at it, is mostly similar, if not like on the high end, setting high temperature records today, perhaps. But we don't see any cold snap, don't see a big winter storm looming, just like the rest of this winter. And having completed the meteorological winter, with it feeling like the last 90 days or so, we maybe shifted our latitude southward. I'm going to ask you, how does Kenny, the climatologist, put this winter in context as far as it reflects our change in climate? Are you calling it more of a harbinger of what's to come in years ahead, or do we file this under an extreme El Nino situation, or a little of both?
It's a great question, Leo. And I'll do my best to give you an answer that people can argue about and repeat to each other if they wish.
Thank you.
I would say the first thing is you named two important things, climate change and El Nino. And let's just establish out the gate, we wouldn't be here without either of those. Okay. They definitely tag teamed. We would not have, for the role of climate change in affecting events, you could kind of look at it two different ways, right? And it's truly semantic which way you choose. But so one thing you could do is you could say, well, climate change, you know, is this ongoing process because we're putting more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, and those greenhouse gases are trapping more heat, and that's causing temperatures to rise globally. And in general, that's responsible for, you know, not necessarily a slow, but a steady increase in the temperatures that we observe over time. And in Minnesota and in our region, especially the winter temperatures, we've seen, you know, since 1970 in your region. So in Northeast Minnesota, since 1970, typical winter day has warmed by an average, and this is just the average daily temperature of a typical winter day, is warmed by an average of about six and a half degrees Fahrenheit. So just kind of randomly select some days from around this time, you know, whether it's, you know, it doesn't have to be this year, could be previous years. And on average, if you get enough of those and you get enough from the early 1970s, you're going to see about a 6 degree difference in daily winter time temperatures. That's a lot of warming. That's, for example, that's much faster than the rate of warming that you look at globally for certain tipping point thresholds. That would be, you know, for global annual average temperature. So you could look at that and say, well, all right, so we've got this sort of background warming that's going on. So clearly the baseline is increasing. In other words, if you think of all the ups and downs that you experience normally with our climate, if you think of those as like mountains or valleys, right? You go, temperature spikes up, that's a mountain, temperature drops way down. Think of that as like a valley or a gorge or a cliff. If you sort of use that analogy, then you could say, well, climate change has gotten us to a higher base elevation, right? We just start the ascent from a higher altitude. And so when we then ascend, we go up a normal mountain, we end up much higher than we would have been. And that's what we're seeing. That is definitely one way you can look at it. Another way you could look at it is that, you know, the climate in general sort of does what it's always done. but climate change is adding this, you know, multiple degrees of warming on top of it. So you could also look at it as, you know, the climate's sort of always been, is weather's mostly going through the, you know, cold fronts and warm fronts as it always has. We're just, it's just that climate change sort of tops everything off. So it makes a heat wave have more heat, especially in the winter time. It, you know, so makes these winter heat waves much warmer. It makes a what would have already been a warm winter much warmer. So you can't, no matter how you look at it, you really can't deny the effect that the climate and the change in climate is having on our winters. And just sort of borrowing from what are called attribution studies, these would be studies that are probably as close to an autopsy as you can get with climatology. They're kind of like a forensic study of what caused this major event. And when those are done for heat-related events around the world, and we're talking major ones, whether they're five-day heat waves or entire seasons that are warm, we generally find that, you know, climate change had that same effect. It either provided a much higher baseline that allowed this otherwise, you know, intense event to be even more intense, or it could be viewed as sort of topping it off. It, usually with, you know, again, several degrees of additional warming. So if we subtracted just the amount of winter warming that we've already seen, so 6 degrees, right, if we subtracted 6 degrees off of this winter, we would all agree it was a warm winter, but we wouldn't be recording it as a historic winter with no, you know, with no peers. And then you can kind of flip it the other way and ask about El Nino. El Nino is, for listeners who maybe haven't listened or haven't kind of tracked this, as you and I or Katya and I have discussed this on other Fridays, El Nino is the natural variation that occurs in the ocean, is the Pacific Ocean in particular, along the equator, near South America. And what happens is a bunch of warm water gets churned up towards the surface. Essentially the winds slow down, and that allows the water that's near the surface to kind of bake in the equatorial sun for a longer time. And you end up with much warmer water that alters the wind patterns and ultimately alters the weather patterns. And even up here in Minnesota, we can detect its influence, especially when that El Nino event is strong. And we often get these kind of warm and mild winters. So it would be disingenuous, somewhere between disingenuous and dishonest, to pretend that El Nino didn't have a role in shaping this winter. But you probably, based on the intensity of this El Nino, it was a strong one. It was very strong, but it wasn't nearly the strongest we've ever had. And so it would also be, you couldn't blame all of this on El Nino. So you can't discount the role of El Nino, and you can't give it all the credit. And the same would be true for this with the change in climate. But we wouldn't be here having these conversations, being gobsmacked by the fact that we just went through the warmest meteorological winter that this state has seen in 200 years. And we wouldn't be having this conversation without either of those, if that helps.
Oh, it helps a lot. And probably some of us will be spurred to do some further research on our own, Kenny, which is, I hope, what this show can do for people, turn them into climatology and meteorology nerds. The question that pops up that I'm almost afraid to hear an answer to is there even, we talk about what El Nino stems from, changes movement in the ocean strata. Can climate change over time even play a role in that natural phenomenon that, you know, long-term El Nino? Can those ocean current phenomena be changed if we have enough atmospheric warming?
Yeah, great question, and it's already happening.
So
the ocean system is complex, and that is probably the biggest understatement of that you'll hear all like for the decade. The ocean system is complex. Good night, everybody. Yeah, no,
I'll be here all week. Yes.
Yeah, the ocean system is wildly complex. You know, I mean, we only see waves, right? You know, and you see the surface currents, but it's filled with these interactions that are, and you have to remember, once you go down to the ocean floor, it has topography. It's not homogeneous. And that topography, you know, it has plains and valleys and mountains, just like the above sea level land does. And so you have this water moving through this irregularly shaped system, and it has a physical response at different depths, meaning, you know, their density changes, the pressure changes, the amount of light that gets in changes. And so it has currents that flow deeply, it has currents that flow shallow, and it has currents that move water through those different, between the depths. And that mostly you find that, you know, if you get up near a continent, the deep water runs into the continental shelf, doesn't have anywhere to go in it. It has to move up towards the surface. And then, so where does that surface water go? It has to go somewhere else. So some of the currents are just artifact of the shape of the ocean. And then you throw in the fact that the ocean is rotating. The globe is rotating, so that helps the oceans move. So in any case, El Nino is this, you know, super, like, we've really simplified it to what seems like this basic response in this incredibly complicated system. But one of the things that we've learned is that El Nino, you know, in fact, the oceans are warming so fast that if we just used the old definitions for El Nino, we would actually find that El Nino events are getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But that would be an inaccurate way of phrasing it, because El Nino events really gain their strength from the difference between that warm water in the ocean and the water that's sort of around it. And so so all of the baseline statistics that are used to assess the intensity of El Nino, they're adjusted every 5 years because the oceans have warmed that fast, Pacific Ocean in particular. So yeah, there are changes, and we don't know exactly, you know, because there's so much complexity in the ocean, you don't know exactly what all of it means. We just know that, you know, a typical El Nino now is warmer in the ocean water sense than a typical El Nino 40 years ago, because the oceans are warmer. So we try and use the same definition. Oh, it has to be a certain amount above what is now currently normal for temperatures, but that baseline for what's currently normal has been going up and up and up and up. So as a result, there's more heat in a typical El Nino now than there was. So there's already some changes, and we don't fully understand all of the ramifications of that.
Wow. Well, it's in process, and our next generations are going to find out some of the answers to how these trends are going to play out. But Kenny, any chance I can get you to give me a 30-second thumbnail sketch? We have March coming in like a lamb right now. Do you see any lion?
Yeah.
Do you see any lions down the road for the next week or so?
Yeah, we've been fooled by the models for a while. So very warm weekend, potentially all-time record heat statewide on Sunday. Today's going to be amazing warm. Saturday's going to be warmer. Sunday could kind of knock everything socks off. Sunday.
Okay.
And then we get kind of normalish. There's some signs that we get into an active pattern, but we've been seeing those signs for a couple weeks, and it hasn't come to pass yet. But there's actually signs on all of the models that we get active cool and snowy, especially in your region, sometime later next week and into the following weekend. But we can't confirm that that's accurate.
Well, we will be paying a lot of attention. we have a big event on March 10th, Kenny, and so we're hoping that we are free and clear till March 11th. So we'll check in with you next week. We need to get on with the day, but it's been an incredibly interesting discussion. Thanks for joining us today.
Good talking with you, Leo. Have a great weekend, everyone. And, you know, don't despair, as concerning as it could be. Get out and enjoy the nice conditions, too.
Thank you, Kenny. We appreciate that. Thank you. That's Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.